Good morning. One of my friends was in one of the local abattoirs a few weeks ago when a new Rav came in, somebody who hadn't been there before. And the Rav came in and he had a look around. He went and he looked, you know, how the Shechita was going and the Melicha and so on. And he said, "You're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong, and you're doing that wrong. And you've got to change this and that and the other." And one of the Goyim who's been working there for 40 years and who knows better than any of the Yidden exactly how it goes in the Shachtos and what you're supposed to do, turned around and said, "But I thought you only had one Torah. You've only got one thing. This rabbi says this, and this rabbi says that. What are you supposed to do?" And my friend didn't know how to answer him, because to explain it to a guy, but even for Yidden, he needs a little bit of explanation. Maybe we'll try a little bit, just to explain how it works. The pasuk says, Hashem beiraches Avraham bakoil. Hashem benched Avraham with everything. As machloikas tanoim, what does bakoil mean? One of the tanoim says, bakoil is gematria ben. The gematria of son, that means Avraham Avinu had a son, he had everything. Another one says, he had a bas, he had a daughter. And how do you fit them together? Did he have a son? Or did he have a daughter? He had both. Neither. What are we going to do? I'll tell you something. There was a young man in Eretz Yisrael who was very bothered. If Avraham Avinu had a daughter, then why did Avraham Avinu send Eliezer off to Charan to find a wife for Yitzchak? Could have married off to his own daughter. There wasn't such issues with Aroya, you see, Yaakov married two sisters, etc. So he went to ask a Talmud Chacham, who was a bit of a wag, he liked a joke. He went and asked him, if Avraham Avinu had a daughter, why didn't he marry Yitzchak off to the daughter? So the that's a shaila in the Rambam. The Ramban asked about that, and so on and so forth. How could Yaakov marry two sisters, etc.? It says Yaakov also. Yeah. Who said she was born yet? This time Rachem answered that Avraham Avinu was chayshish for the other shitter. He was chayshish for the shitter that he didn't have a daughter. That was his answer. The Gemara says in Gittin, the story of Pilegesh Begiva. The story of Pilegesh Begiva says that there was a man who had a concubine. Vatiznalo Pilagshoy, the pasuk says his Pilegesh was Mazane. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean she was Mazane, she did something which annoyed her husband. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rav Yossa Oma, Zvuv Matzalor, Rav Yossa says he found a fly in the soup. And Rav Yenis Nama Nima Matzalor, he says he found a hair. Then Rabbi Yossi met Eliyahu Hanavi. Ashkechir Rabbi Yossi met Eliyahu Hanavi. Omalei, and he said to Eliyahu Hanavi, "My Ka'ovid Kuchabrichu, what is Hashem doing right now? What's Hashem doing?" And he turned around and he said, "Omalei, Osik bePilegesh Begiva." He's learning the sugya of Pilegesh Begiva. The Rabbi Yisraelim in the Shemaim is learning Pilegesh Begiva. Umai Ka'oma. Rabbi Yossi, and what's he saying about Kedesh Begiva? What's Rabbi Yossi Mechadesh? What's he saying about Kedesh Begiva? Omale is saying, Evyosa ben Yikacho Eme. My son Evyosa says, Zvuv Matzaloi was because of a fly. And Yenison ben Yikacho Eme, my son Yenison is saying, it's because of a hair. So Omaloi, so he said, Chas Hashanah, Mirka Sveika Kamishmaya, how can that be? He asked the question which we were asking. Rabbi Yossi doesn't know what happened. Talking about a story which happened many years ago. Rabbi Yenison remembers the story. He didn't need to say, Rabbi Yenison says this, Rabbi Yossi says that. And you all know, he said, Omalei elu ve'elu divrei elikim chayim hein. Both of these shitters, both of the things you've said, is divrei elikim chayim. And the Gemara asks, how can that be? How can they both be true? We're talking about a story, what actually happened. So Gemara said both happened. Zvuv matzav aloi hikpid, nimu matzav hikpid. First there was a fly, then there was a hare, and between the two of them, they managed to make the life explode, so he sent her away, and then the whole story of Pelegas Begiva unfolded, which ended with the slaughter of most of Shevet Binyamin, and that's what happened. But we can't say that with all the machlokes we've had. Saying Avraham Avinu had a daughter or didn't have a daughter is almost a stira. And there are many others where we have a problem. The question is exactly how to go through it. So before we go a little bit further, I want to tell you another story. Story is like this. There was a man who was saving up. And he was saving up money. He had it in the corner of his house, however, it used to be under the mattress. Nowadays, they put it somewhere else, wherever it is. He was saving up money, putting aside money for some in the future when he wanted to leave his job. And he wanted to make a big investment and go into a new job and make a whole business. And he had big ideas what he's going to do with this money when he saved up enough. And he was putting it aside. And it was coming near Pesach, and his wife knew about the money as well. And she was thinking, ooh, maybe I can use this money for Yom Tov. And in the meantime, they had a son, and the son came along. The son found this money. He was messing around, he found the money, he found it. It looks very nice. There's some green paper here, and some red paper here. It's a yellow paper. I'm going to make a game out of it. And he took out these pieces of paper and started playing with them. And he was enjoying himself. His parents didn't notice. And he was playing. And after a few minutes, he went a bit too close to the fire. And the money fell in the fire. There are three people there. There's the son, there's the father and the mother. And they all, when they realized, they all started crying. Why were they crying? The son's crying because he's lost his toy. The mother's crying because he's got no food for Pesach. And the father's crying because he thought he was going to become a millionaire. He's going to invest here and there. What actually happened? Well, all three things happened, didn't they? All three of those things happened. But the way each one saw the story was different. And that's the most basic idea in Eileveli Devikim Chaim. We can all see a story. We can see it. I can see it. You can see it. He can see it. We'll come back and describe it. And we'll describe it in different ways. And it will be different. As we start with. If you imagine a group of aliens came that could come down to this world. And they would capture a whole class of 15-year-olds and take them back to their planet to study how human beings are. And they work out, these 15-year-olds, they grow about an inch every 6 months. So you say, ooh, now we understand. They grew 2 inches a year, so in 100 years' time they'll be, I can't work it out on the spot, but whatever it is, and they'll be an extra 50 inches tall. We all know that's a joke. People don't grow at the same speed their whole lives. They grow faster, they go slower, and then they stop. But these aliens, that's what they looked at. And that's one of the mashalim they say about modern day geology. People take stones, the scientists take stones, they work out from the degeneration of the stones now, and the radioactivity of the stones now, how old those stones are. But that's only based on the climate of the world now, and the atmosphere now, and what's happening in the world now. It's the same as these 15-year-olds. They're just looking at it in one specific aspect. But when we look at the Torah, it's the same. We see the Torah through the eyes of our Torah, of our generation, of our Rebbes, and previous Torahs might have seen it differently. But we're not saying it's wrong or right. It's just a different way of looking at things. And there's a Gemara which says in slightly more depth this concept. Gemara talks about, in the Gemara in Eiruvin, Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara said, Omer Abavo, Omer Abeichanan, Talmid Hoyaloy Reb Meir V'Sumchus Shmoy. And many of us have heard of Sumchus, and Baba Kamo, and Sumchus, Tzreiros, and this and that. The Gemara says here that Sumchus was not just a Manda Omer about Tzreiros, but Sumchus was a Talmid of Reb Meir, who could say on every single case of Tumah in the Torah, he could say 49 Tamim, 48 tamim, and now called over shatara arboim shmeina tamim. You could say 48 tamim. Now, the question is, what's a tam? A tam doesn't mean a reason. We always translate tam means a reason, but it doesn't really mean that. He could have said 48 proofs that this was tamei, and 48 proofs that this was tahir. It's a very strange thing to say. Is it tahir? Is it tamei? And if it's tahir or tamei, you only need one proof. You only need 48 proofs. What was he trying to achieve with that? And then the Gemara goes even further and says something even more difficult to understand. Tana Talmid Vosik Hoya Biyavne. There was a Talmud in Yavne, a Talmud Vosik, who was sitting and learning for many years. Shoyim Atayres HaSheretz Meir V'Chamishim Tame. We all know, Pasuk says that a Sheretz is Tome. A dead Sheretz is Tome, and it's Metame, and it's Avatuma, and it's one of the things which you've got to keep away from. And he said, no, I've got 150 proofs. 150 proofs that a Sheretz is Tohir. How can you do that? He's Apikoros. And the Gemara quotes it. We wouldn't have quoted such a person. We'd have thrown out our tongue and bought a whole load of eggs and to throw them on it. What is he saying? A Sheretz is Tahir. 150 proofs. And on that, the Gemara says further, Omar Abba, Omar Shmuel, Sholei Shonim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Says, for 3 years, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were arguing. Halalu Oyma Alacha Kamei Seinu, Halalu Oyma Alacha Kamei Seinu. We hold of this, and we're like, we're right, you're wrong, we're right. 3 years was like that. In the end, Yotzah Baskai, the Baskai came out, the Omran, and said, Eilu Ve'elu Dibre Lekim Chaim. First things, you're both right. You're both right. That's the first thing. Just leave out who's right. Question is, what we should do, Halacha Ke Beis Hillel. You're both right. But the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why is the halacha Beis Hillel? The Gemara says something very strange. Why? The Gemara doesn't say because they understood better. The Gemara doesn't say because they had a better Svara, better Rebbe, better this. The Gemara says, Mipnei shenoichin va'aluvin hayu. They were quiet people who, if you said something to them, they didn't get upset. Aluvim, they just, you were ma'al of them. I love him. They just kept quiet. They didn't answer back. They didn't do anything. Not only that, when they quoted the halacha, they didn't just say their own things. They didn't say, Ichalt, I hold this is the halacha, this is the halacha. They didn't. They said, Bishamai hold this, and we hold that. And more than that, didn't just say, I hold as like, you should know there's Bishamai who also holds something in the corner. No. Bishamai hold like this. And we hold like that. And we find the Mishnah in Sukkah, which you all know, the Mishnah of, where says first they mentioned Bishamai Shitta, and then their own. Is that a reason to pass an halacha? You see two rabbonim, one of them's nice, warm, friendly. The other one's tough. So we say, well, we'll go with the friendly one, right? He's nice. I like him. I'll go to him for my shilas. He's easy. He'll start to be makel as well. He's a little more makel than Bisham. We'll go to him. That's a reason. But the Gemara says that's a reason. We've got to try and understand that as well. And maybe one more before we get to the nitty gritty. There's another Gemara in Chagiga. Gemara says, Bale Asufois. The pasuk says at the end of Keres, Bale Asufis, Eilu Tamidei Chachamim, Sheyoshim Asufis Asufis Oiskim Batoya. Bale Asufis means masters of gatherings. They Tamidei Chachamim who sit in different groups. Vaiskim Batoya, they Oiskim Batoya. Halolu Matamim, Halolu Matarim, Halolu Oiskim, Halolu Matirim. There's different groups. There's the Oiskim, there's the Matirim, there's the Matarim, there's the Matamim. Halolu Poislim, Halolu Machshirim. The Gemara asks, "Shema Yoyma Adam, Heich Ani Lo Metayre Me'ata." I'm stuck. I come here. I come to a shir. Come start day to day. I say one thing tomorrow. Whoever's speaking is going to say the exact opposite, and everybody's listening is going to be absolutely stuck. What do we do? The Gemara asks the Kasha, "What should you do?" Talmud Loima. The Hemshech of the Pasuk is Kulam Nitnu Meroya Echad. All these different groups and all these different shitters, they were all given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. Keil Echad Nosnon, one God gave them. Parnas Echad Amoron, one Moshe Rabbeinu, he said them over me. Pi Adoim Kolamasim Baruchu. Dichsiv, Vaidaber Elikim Es Kol Hadvorim Ha'ele. The Pasuk says by Har Sinai, Hashem said, Kol Hadvorim Ha'ele, all these things. And the Gemara says further, Afato Asei Oznacha Ke Afar Cheses. Make your ear like a funnel. Ears are wider at the top and they get narrower. And the Gemara says that's like a funnel. The funnel's wide at the top and it gets narrower and narrower. You have to take everything in at the top of the wide end and let it go through. But at the bottom, only a small amount can come out. You've got to learn the way that you understand. Work your best to get yourself a lev mavin, a heart which can understand the different shitters, all of them. And then then you grind it up and come out with what you feel is the right thing. Everything is nitru mirah echad. So the Gemara seems to be saying that Moshe Rabbeinu himself, he also knew the 150 reasons, the 150 proofs to matahar Sheretz. But Maisa Hashem said the Sheretz is tameh. And I suppose you all know the Bacha in Gates of Yeshiva, this is going back about 40 years, who gave a whole chabura. He wasn't sure if a woman can be a nazir. And backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, and at the end of the chabura, Rosh Yeshiva said to him, but according to this Gemara, it sounds like, although he shouldn't have given that chabura, he should have known the pasuk. He clearly didn't know the pasuk. But you're allowed to. You're allowed to clear. You're allowed to try and find reason. As long as you're not paskening shaylos with it, it's all part of Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu also got it. And the Gemara brings this story of this Talmid Vosik with his 150 reasons inside, in the middle of the sugya of Divrei Elokim Chayim. I think we brought it somewhere else, just mentioning there was an episode to Santa Talmud who did that. That's fine. But no. Just before the memory of Elokim Chayim with the Beisham Beisilil, says Talmud Vosik Hoya Sheimataya Sashat. It sounds like, as I say, it's all part of Torah. And you can listen to each person with his Havana, it's all part of Torah. Yeah. The Ritva in Erevin quotes the Bali Tosfos. Shalu Rabboni Tzarfas, he quotes the Rabboni Tzarfas, that means Bali Tosfos, the Rabbonim of France. Heich efshesh yushneim divelikim chayim, za'im ezematir. He asks almost the same kasha of the Gemara Chagiga, but he asks it more explicitly. How can it possibly be that there's different people that it's called Divrei Elokim Chayim? Can say that we're allowed to learn, we're allowed to have a swara, we're allowed to have a havam and a maskana, this and that, but how can they both be Divrei Elokim Chayim? And he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, we quoted before, Sumchus said 48 reasons to Tomei, 48 reasons for Tomei. Sumchus wasn't quite on the level, because the Ritva says when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, and it's a medrash, it's brought elsewhere, he had 49. So Sumchus wasn't quite there yet. He had only 48. There were 49 reasons, and Hashem showed all of them. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Ribbono Shel Olam, what's going on? And he said, then this is the chiddush. This is the crunch of the chiddush, with which we can answer all the questions, but it creates questions as well. He says, Hashem put into the Torah that there can be different interpretations and different halachas, and how do we know what's right? The chachamim of each doir can decide, and they can change from one doir to the next. One doir they can say this is good, and next doir the chachamim will say differently. Take just a very, very basic example which you all know. 100 years ago, in most places in Europe, what we call Shkia nowadays was unheard of. They never heard of it. Not for Mincha, not for Kabbalah Shabbos, not for things. They held the Minchas Kohen Shkia, or Rabbi and Tam Shkia in some places, which is significantly later, in many, many places in Europe. Then, through the Doros, come more recently, once in the Mishnah Berurah, after the war, that everybody took it on. Suddenly, everybody knows about Shkia. How can things change? You look in Shuvas Chasam Sofer, you look in many other places, it's quite clear that he held in Pressburg, and in Frankfurt we've got the times, and you go to Amsterdam, they still know the time, and you go further east, and so on and so forth. How can that things change? The Ritva says, no, it can change, and it has to change, and you change with. The Rabbonim of each Doir, they were allowed to Machriya, and they're allowed to change the Halacha. And there are many, many other cases, I'm not going to go into them, but he says it can be changed through the Doiras. Hilchus Chalamoed, I suppose many of you know that according to Rashi and many Rishonim, Hilchus Chalamoed, the Pasuk doesn't say what's Asa and what's Mutter. And the Rashi holds the Chachamim are entitled to decide what's Asa and what's Mutter. And the Chachamim said it's Asa. It's Asa Midoraisa. And not just because of Lois Asa, because of Chalamoed. And there are other cases like that as well. Where Hashem said, Chachamim, you can decide. And you'll make a change in the Torah. And this is the Ritva's quoting this Medrash to say, the Chachamim Sog Shkol Dorodoy can change things. The There's certain things you can't. I mean, we all know that a takana of a previous doyer you can't change unless there's a based in God or Yosef, a chokhmah, a b'minyan, a bigger based in, a stronger based in. But that's for a different reason. That's not a psak halacha. It's a takana the Beis Din have made. The Beis Din turn around and say, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, for example. Take one which we all agree with, right? Nobody's going to disagree. You don't blow shofar on Shabbos. You don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Now, if the Rabbanim would say, well, nowadays we've got an Eruv, we can do this, we can carry, they can't change it. It's kol doir v'doir. Every generation? No, it's not every generation, because that's a takona. Takona's chazal is not an interpretation of the Torah. It's not saying what the halacha is. It's a decree. And to annul a decree, you've got to have somebody else who's greater than the person who made the decree. So that's, before you start asking, that's not relevant to this shaila. We're talking about interpretations of halacha, we're talking about interpretations of the Torah, and we're talking about how to paskin shailas. I had once, when I was in Gated Yeshiva, they used to bring boys from JFS up, and we had to learn with them over Shabbos to try and give them a taste of what Yeshiva was like. And I was learning with one of these boys, and he says, look, I've seen lots of rabbis, and this one says that, and this one says this, and I don't know what to do, and it feels to me like the whole thing's a farce, you know, got this and this and this, each one's saying his own thing. So I tried to explain to him a little bit. I didn't tell him Gemaras and the in depth. I wasn't speaking to the Kala Kodesh Azeh. We're talking about to a young boy from JFS with a question. But then he says to me, okay, I understand all that, but who should I choose? How should I choose, Marov? How should I choose? I want one person, just how can I choose? So I tried to say to him, you know, if there's a shul where you daven, and if there's a rabbi there, yeah, but I don't like that one. I don't have a feeling for him. So who do you have a feeling for? Well, I like the other one. It's a very difficult question. Who to go to? What to go to? How you should choose it? Now, if you've got a problem with Seira, you're from, your father's been going to a rabbi, your grandfather's been going to a certain halach, that's the best way, that's the ideal way. But for people who haven't got, they've got to understand that if they choose one and follow him, they choose one rather than follow him, that's good. How to choose it? It's very difficult, but the Chazanish always said, in many things like this, if you've got a greater tshuka, you've got a big feeling, you want to go to this one, you want to go to this one, and you feel he's the man for me, the Rabbi Yishon is showing you the way. It doesn't have to be a logical decision. It doesn't have to be, he's got a longer beard, and he's older. No, it doesn't have to be. If you've got a feeling, this is the man for me, you can do it. The Chazanish said even with Shidduchim like that. So it doesn't have to be logical. You meet somebody and you've got a feeling for her, and it's not logical. You just like how she looks and things. It could be that a Rebbe Shem sending you a message that's the right one. Even though you say, no, well, is she going to do this? No. That's how it goes. Yeah. There are certain cases where if you've got one Rav who says something and he's contradicting all the other Rabbonim, then we know quite well that doesn't work. Yeah? There's Zakeh Mamre, etc., etc. And sometimes Rabbonim have to stand up and denounce other Rabbonim. Not that I have anything to do with that type of thing, but there are such things. The Shlosh said about the Shmachleikas Hillel and Shammai that they were special. Their Machleikas was more than the others. And he wants to suggest the two Gemaras we've quoted are actually completely different. One Gemara is Divrei Elokim Chaim. Divrei Elokim Chaim means Hashem's sitting up there and he's saying, this man, my son, Rabbi Yankel says this, and my son, Rabbi Hillel says that. But there's the other Gemara says, Divrei Chachamim Balei Asufa, he says groups. So that's a lower level. That's not quite the same. It's still Torah. It was still given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not quite the same. It's not on the full level of Shammai and Hillel. And he said, what's the difference? The Shammai and Hillel, we're going to Paskan like Beis Shammai when Moshiach comes. This is the Shlosh, he brings the Makoyah, brings the Ramak, other people. When Moshiach comes, we're going to Paskan like Beis Shammai. Shammai and Hillel, there's so much Divrei Elokim Chaim that it's just to do with different Torahs. Sometimes you have to Paskan like Hillel, sometimes like Shammai. Other times you have machlokes where we will never paskin like the one who is fed up. We'll never. They had an argument, and 65 members of the Sanhedrin said one way, And six members of the Sanhedrin said the other way. And what do? We go to 65, and the other six, we forget about them. See, he says, that's not Divrei Kimchai. He says, it's still part of Torah, it was still given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's like that Talmud Vosik who was Matahir the Sheretz. He says, Sheretz is Tahir. Sheretz is Tommy, we know Sheretz is Tommy. How can you say Sheretz is Tahir? So he's saying, it's part of Torah. But we don't paskin like it. That's not Divrei Kimchai. That's not quite on the level, on the top level of Divrei Kimchai. I wanted to suggest something, just a pidrash, to take it a bit further then. There's a halacha, if all the members of the Sanhedrin agree that somebody's chayav misa, he's potter. And this is a chayik, we don't understand it. I'm not going to try and understand it. But a little suggestion, a tiny little suggestion, based on what we're saying now. The whole muhus of the Torah, the whole existence of the Torah is that there has to be some who are matir and some who are asa. Some who are matai and some who are matame. If everybody says one thing, there's something wrong going here. It can't be. In the Torah there has to be different ideas. We say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Be'ein meilitz yoshem mul magid pesha, tagid liyakhoi dvar choyku mishpat, the tzadkenu ba mishpat. And it's one of these things which, and maybe people remember the nigunim of it, but if you try and translate it, it's an extremely difficult thing to translate. Bein melitz yosha, there's nobody supporting us. Mul magid pesha, there's somebody who's attacking us, saying we've done pshoim, we've done averus. There's a prosecutor. Tagid Yaakov dvar choyku mishpat, tell Yaakov dvar choyku mishpat, it's a choyk, it's a judgment, but tzadkenu ba mishpat. And it's very difficult, there's lots of pshat in. Ratzvi Eshfeber said that it was pshat was what we've just said, this halacha. Be'ein meilitz yosha, we haven't got anybody saying we're tahir. Mul magid pesha, the whole Sanhedrin Shemala is saying we're chayev. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we're all chayev, we've done too many averus. Ay bazoi tagid le'yakri dva chayku mishpat. You see this chayk, that if we're all mechayev, then we're part of the tzadkeinu mishpat. So my man was good. But this idea that the Torah has to be different shittas, different ideas. We can't learn Torah. We can't have it without that. I don't know if any of you know, there was once a Prime Minister of England called Disraeli, who was actually originally a Jew. According to us, he's still a Jew, but he converted as a Mashumad. And he was sitting there with the German Chancellor, I forget his name at the time, at a big meeting. And there was arguments going on backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. And the Chancellor turns around to this Disraeli and he said to him, I'm fed up with all these arguments. I hate it all. I just want to decide. I want to say, this is how we're doing, this is how we're doing, this is how we're doing. I hate to have to listen to Yenem Shitters and his bogeys. And Disraeli, who was originally a Yid and who'd learnt Gemara, knew a little bit about, no, Punktfaket. The best way to find out what's right is we have a discussion. You have two people learning together and they discuss it. And then you have a group and you work it out. And you can actually listen to other people's ideas. And you can absorb from other people. Somebody who doesn't have pilpul chaverim, they don't go on the right mahalach. You see that. You see people who sit and learn by themselves all day, never speak to anybody else. And after they come and say Eshtekol Torah, it doesn't quite fit. There's something missing. So Disraeli tried to say to the German Chancellor, I don't know what he answered, but the idea is there. And part of that is because the Torah has to be with different facets and different looks and different outlooks. But at the end of the day, you have to grind it down like a millstone, like you say, and grind it down and grind it down till you come out with the halacha. We're not saying that other things are not part of Torah. And some of the Mefarshim say, why is the Gemara so busy with Havaminas? Always busy with Havaminas. He asked him and he thought like this and he was going backwards and forwards and then we said, just go straight to the Maskana, miss out all the Kashas and the Terutzim and the this and that. And then the Achrayim say, it's because of this idea. The Havamina is not just that you're Mekayim Lima Torah by learning it. It's part of the Torah which Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. He gave him all the Havaminas. One of my friends, it's in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. He went to the Rosh Yeshiva and he says, do you know something? I understand this Havamin so well, I don't understand the Maskana anymore. I don't understand it. Rosh Yeshiva burst out laughing. He says, that's how you have to understand every Havamina. So he says, so how am I supposed to understand the Maskana? He says, when you learn the Havamina, it's got to be so clear and so understandable that you can't understand the Maskana. But when you get to the Maskana, you've got to understand the Maskana so well that you don't understand the Havamina. For those of you who've learned Gemara and Nedarim with Iran, you'll understand what I mean, because Iran explains every Havamina so well. At that moment, that is the pshat. You know, Rashi, it's more difficult. Rashi's more Birkatsa. The Iran explains the Havaminas to the degree that quite often I don't understand how he's going to change it to the Maskana. Get to the Maskana, and it goes backwards. And they're saying it's not just the Havaminas. You've got to understand how they got to the Halacha. They went through this step and this stage and this stage. No, that's not the Pshat. Pshat is the Havamina is also a part of the Torah. So we don't paskanai the Havamina. We've got to understand it as well. The Mishnah says, Kol machlokes shi l'shem shemayim sofer l'skayim. Machlokes she'ein l'shem shemayim ein sofer l'skayim. Ezi machlokes shi l'shem shemayim machlokes shi l'shamayim. Machlokes she'ein l'shem shemayim is korach v'chaladosei. So we've got opposite extremes in machlokes. We've got the machlokes of korach against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the machlokes of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the Mishnah said the difference is, one was l'shem shemayim, and one was not l'shem shemayim. Shammai, one was Shammai and Hillel, one was Koyach HaRadosai. One Sefer Yiskayim, one was not Sefer Yiskayim. Our simple pshat is Sefer Yiskayim means we're still discussing Hillel and Shammai nowadays. We're still learning it. It's still having an effect. But the Chidah says no. Sefer Yiskayim means although we paskanite Hillel now, Sefer Yiskayim. In the future we're going to paskanite Shammai. As the Chidah says, translation of the Mishnah. It's more than just a Sefer Yiskayim that we're going to discuss it and it's going to continue. Now, it's not the Poshut Pshat because it says Kol Machlokes Shi L'Shem Shemayim. And we're not going to say that every time there's been a Machlokes to a Dodo L'Shem Shemayim, in Moshiach comes, we're going to Paskanite the other Shitta. Don't think anybody suggests that. But just an idea. The Chidah says that's the translation of the Mishnah. Yeah. But we come back to what we started with, and the Gemara in Gittin doesn't seem to say that. The Gemara in Gittin says they were both true. The hare and the fly both annoyed him. If what we're saying is, so Maral asked this question, and he says, there's actually two different sugyas here. There's a sugya of agadata, and there's a sugya of halacha. There's a sugya where you're discussing what happened, the story of Pelegas we give, only one thing could have happened. So we need to say, and there's a sugya of halacha. So in agadata, you have to say, you have to try and explain how all the different shittas fit together. Rav Dessler's got a whole shtickle Torah. Ramotcha Miller told us a shtickle about when Nodon Aviv died, the Medrash gives us, I think, seven reasons, lots and lots of different reasons why they died, what Aveira they did. So which one was it? So he fits them all together, he's got a whole shtickle, and he brings it to Kunei Zoya, which says that in Agadata, all the Machlekesim always have to fit together, and they're all true. To try and work out how. But in Halacha, it's not true, it's not what we're saying. Halacha, if Shait Hashem gave the Halacha, with different methods of understanding, with 49 here and 49 there, and they're both true, but they're not consistent with each other. They're both true because Hashem put it that way. Deliberately gave the Torah in a way that it could be slightly ambiguous. It had different meanings and different understandings and different people. That's in Halacha. And that can change from Dor to Dor. That's what we said. The Halacha changes one Dor, and the second Dor, and the third Dor. That's in Halacha. If we come to what's Nageh to us, maybe more than those two things, because I don't think we're being machriya in Halacha or in Agadata or anything we're learning, but there's a third thing, which is in our own lives. How do we choose our method of Avodas Hashem? How do we follow Hashem? What are we supposed to do? Which job are we supposed to do? Which mitzvahs are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to concentrate on? There's a shtickle chovas halvavos, which every time I read it again, every time I learn it, it speaks to me. The Chovas Halvavos says, it's in Shah B'Tochen, at the end of, I think, Perek Gimel, he says, if you look at the animals and the birds, you look at them, each one has got his method of getting his panos, his food, and it's different food from the other ones, and he's not jealous of the other ones. He says you've got one bird which eats fish, so his whole body is designated to fish. It's long and thin, it's got certain types of claws, and another one which eats little birds, and another one which will eat fruit, and so on and so forth. It says each one's got, was given by the Rabbeinu Shalom, the tchunas, the physical capabilities, and the brain to get the type of food that he needs. And he says that's just a mushal for us. It's a mushal for people. It says people also, although we all look the same, and if you take a step backwards, we've all got, I don't know, hair, eyes, nose, etc. But actually we've got different personalities and we've got different physical capabilities as well. And he says, when you're looking for, he's talking about parnasa, when you're looking for which job to take on, you should do the one which you feel like that you're capable of doing and you've got a cheshek for. He says, although the Gemara says, the Midrash says, we all need a bursaki, but bursaki, etc., etc. But some people, they have a cheshek to be a bursaki. Some people, that's what speaks to them. They want to do something like that for whatever reason. And we need them. We need people like that. We need everybody. And he says, you can see, the only way of seeing which job you should do, which parnasa you should get, by feeling for yourself. What do you feel like you're doing? What do you feel capable of doing? It's no good if you think, I want to be a basketball champion and you're 5'6" like me. It's just not going to work, right? You've got to be something which you can relate to, which you're capable of doing. But then he said, each one's been given different cheshek and different things, so that everything will be done. If everybody would want to be doctors, then we'd be stuck. They're only doctors, and we wouldn't have anybody else. We wouldn't have anybody to give the start of the day, right? So, how does it work? It works like that in Avodas Hashem as well. And the Tshuvas HaGa'onim says, and this is quoted by many people, but it's a beautiful idea. He says, although many of us are not up on the level of having chumras and keeping doing extra things and spending extra money on esrogim and this and that and the other, the Goyim say in the Tshuvas says every person has to have one special mitzvah, which he takes this mitzvah, he says, this is my mitzvah which I'm going to beautify, I'm going to do it the best possible level, the hidur, I'm going to do it in a way, keep all the chumras, I'm going to spend all my money, I'm going to spend extra time on it, even though it doesn't fit with the rest of my avodas Hashem, which is on a more basic level. Everybody should take one mitzvah. Which mitzvah? That's up to you. How you do the mitzvah, it's up to you. But put your koichas into it. Put your koichas into doing that mitzvah. Put your money into it. Put everything you can into it. And then we're using these ideas that in the Torah there's a different way for each person, not just to understand, but to keep it. To keep the Torah, each person in his way. Rabbi Aryeh Levine, who we all know was a great Baal Chesed, went to the Leshem, who was a Mekubal, and said to him, sometimes I feel maybe I shouldn't be doing all this chesed. I should be sitting and learning all day. I feel I'm missing out. I'm not learning enough. I'm busy going to visit the prisoners in the prison and the people in the hospitals and this and that. And I'm not learning enough. And the Leshem said to him, no. But Arya, you were built for this. You were born for this. Hashem gave you these koichas for you. And that's how we've got to approach our lives. Don't look at other people. Look at ourselves. What can we do? How can we do better? Which mitzvah can we take for ourselves? And with that, Hashem be zeicha to divrei chachamim kadosh v'emes.